Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, who has a majority of his friends and family from Northern Illinois. He took some this weekend. You, as a Nebraska fan, took some this weekend. Wow. Did that happen on Saturday? Yes is the answer. We can talk about it. If you like, can always jump on here with Hail Varsity Radio. Can dial in and call in. As always, you're welcome to do so. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Those are the numbers to get in. Share your thoughts on the weekend. Share your thoughts on the future. As a Nebraska fan, and on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity. We'll hear from Mike Riley, pretty honest presser today. You heard his comments and saw Sean Eichhorst's comments after the loss on Saturday. And I don't think this is something you'll ever get used to as a Nebraska fan. I think some of you have evolved a bit when it comes to knowing what the program is now compared to what the program has been in the past glory era, okay? You know, it's not the same. You want it to be the same. How soon will it get back to being a shadow of that excellence? That's all what you're waiting for, what you're asking for, and trying to be patient with. And it's going to be a rough week. It's going to be a rough weekend with Rutgers coming in. You're a 10-point favorite over Rutgers. That's brutal. It's what it is. College Football Power Index says Nebraska wins two more games this year. Is that going to be accurate? They're also the ones that said 6-6. And let's be flat-out frank about what's going on. You have a team that is in disarray, that lacks confidence, that is afraid, and also that you have some results magnifying, those results being what you are right now out of the non-conference. You're a 1-2 football team. You're the top team among the College Football Misery Index. Northern Illinois has just been named Team of the Week, the National Team of the Week. Why? Because they're a MAC school that'll probably, if they're lucky, end up with 7 wins. They came in and slapped your football team around and made a couple of plays with an anemic offense against your defense that is getting better, but didn't have a response shutdown when they kind of needed to be perfect on Saturday. Shouldn't have to be that way this soon, but it is. Because your offense is a nightmare. 466-377-6800, 825-5865 can join us. Got to ask you, are you still miserable about Saturday as a Nebraska fan? Have you moved on? Have you kind of rationalized what happened? Or are you at the point right now over the last 15 years of Nebraska football where you're not taking it as hard, it doesn't hurt as bad anymore? Because, dare I say, you're getting used to bumps in the road. You're not that shocked when something goes wrong or bad. The one thing that Nebraska fans that I've bumped into and talked to cannot take is embarrassment. You don't always have to win, but play well enough to win. And what you got on Saturday was another embarrassment. The score was extremely close. The other team won. The other team from a non-Power 5 league won in your house with your facilities against your recruits, against your coaching staff. They came out and outslugged you. But it's not new. It happened in 2004. It's happened in the last 10 years with Oklahoma State and Gundy. I mean, it's something that maybe you're getting used to. So it doesn't hurt as bad. Are you in that camp as a Nebraska fan? Or are you the dude who rolled to work and was still incensed? Sunday was a blur because your head hurt and you're angry about losing to Northern Illinois. And you're still passionate about it. I think the passionate fan base still exists, but it's shrinking. I think the fan base that's out there saying, not expecting much anymore. That might be growing. Brian's been on hold. Brian, welcome into Hail Varsity. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
You know, I was at the game. I watched all the disgustingness go down. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I'm numb to it. And I shouldn't be. You know, they say a lot of us are still in the 90s and stuff like that, but I grew up during, at least, I was alive for three championships, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I vaguely remember the first one. I was still young, but I remember every play of the 97 championship game. And that's the Husker football that I grew up with. Watching what I did on Saturday was sickening. I put it to you this way. I went through the grieving process, the seven stages or whatever they say it is. Right now, I'd say I'm in acceptance.
Okay. Acceptance being that you're just not that good a team anymore?
No, acceptance that, yes, we lost. Now let's move on to Big Ten play.
Okay.
We can still win the Big Ten, believe it or not. We can do it. But they have to put it together.
Brian, awesome. Thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate you. Tuning in, 466-377-6800-825-5865. You're still miserable from Saturday. And Brian is still believing, still thinks it can be okay. And it still can be all right. Okay? It can still work out okay for you as a Nebraska fan. But Nebraska fans are extremely intelligent. And you're also very realistic. You know, what's the opportunity level like here for Nebraska? Well, you can do a lot. You can rebound. You can put a good season together. You can do a number of things. But what's likely going to happen here? Danny, hang on for me, all right? Just let me take this call. You get the guy on the bottom, all right? Let's go to Patrick, and we hung up on Patrick. That's cool. Patrick, call back if you want. Do we have Patrick? Patrick, are you there? Okay, so we'll take more of your calls. The lines are full. Keep trying to get through, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Coming up, we'll get caught up with Jay Moore. Uncle Charlie will be with us. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Brandon Fogel going to be with us. Patrick, sorry about that disconnection. Go ahead, sir.
You're all right. How's it going?
I'm all right. Are you still miserable from Saturday? You're doing better.
I'm better. So that kind of thing off. You know, I can remember, I think it was 85 for number one, mm-hmm. and went to Syracuse. I'm a 30-point favorite in that one. Somebody brought up Southern Mess, you know, S, not S, Mississippi. I think it happened. Is it tolerable? No.
Mm-hmm. I think we lost.
Beat to a pulp. It is what it is. Last said there, you know, the bigger.
We'll try. Are you there? We're losing you, my friend.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you're chipping in and out.
I think the bigger picture this week will tell how we respond this weekend.
Sure.
If we come out and look a little bit better, then I think something, and we see some improvement, I think we have a little bit of optimism for the rest of the year. But another week like this, and I think we can pretty much be safe to say what it's going to be like.
Yep, it'll be nice. Patrick, thanks for your call. Appreciate your insight. He's right. The old Carrier Dome loss is not a good thing. Nebraska, number one in the country. You just smoked UCLA. You go up to that little bandbox. You stare at Boeheim's comb over at the time. You get ill. You're still miserable from Saturday. And the people I've run into are still miserable. You lost to a team that you have no business losing to as Nebraska. And what do you do about it now? And here's what should have happened Saturday. You lost to Oregon. You gave up 42 points in the first half. You battle back, and you're right there to get this thing won. And you don't do it. So what did Riley say a week ago? What did we play for you a week ago? You should be so hungry to come out and handle your business. And how'd the team come out? Well, defensively, they came out okay. They were ready. They were focused. Offensively, things are rolling. And then, on the blink of an eye, you throw a pick six on a bubble screen on second and short, and game is now in doubt. The team is tight. The staff is tight. And that's the reality right now. It is eggshell time down at 10th and Vine. The AD's showing up after the game to wag his finger at you. Some of us had forgotten what he looked like, except for the fact he said, "What's up?" after the whole Black Friday fiasco Thursday after practice. So it's getting tight. It's getting tense. There's noise. There's frustration. There's animosity. There's anger because of who you lost to and that you are 1-2. Can you get out of this hole? And I think when push comes to shove, a lot of you really enjoy and like Mike Riley. I think he's a good dude. I think he knows a lot about football. But this roller coaster can't exist, and they've got to stabilize. How do they stabilize? You're going to throw all sorts of food and condiments at me. But you stabilize this thing by running the football, and you forge a mentality. Can you be something you're not? And that is a team that can line up and smash you on third and short. I'm not saying the play action to the tight end on third and second should be banned. I love that play. But when push comes to shove, can you beat the guy on offense lined up across from you on defense? You want to go through the third down play selection and results for Nebraska football last Saturday? They attempted to run it three times. Succeeded once, and that was the old fullback trap. Okay? The rest of the time, they were throwing it. Or, on a third and play with it down, they couldn't run it. They cannot run the football successfully. They've had their moments. They've been okay when Bryant's in there. Wilbon was, all of his yards had to be after contact because he did not have a clean hole most of his life on Saturday. And if this team's going to get better and beat the Rutgers and beat Illinois, and if this team's going to get better to hang and beat Wisconsin, if this team's going to go 8-1, which is what I think they need to do to kind of erase this non-conference season, you need to split with Ohio State and Penn State and win the West. And if you don't, how far off are you with the big three left? And who do you stub your toe up against that's comparable to Northern Illinois? To really kind of find yourself and stop being pushed around and stop being beat by the Northern Illinois of the world, you've got to be the tougher guy on the line of scrimmage. And it's a mentality, because I have no doubt the big guys that are 300 pounds are tough dudes. But from a mentality standpoint, what do you have? You have a finesse offense. What's the purpose of the run game in this offense? It's to set up play action. It's to be able to throw the football. It's balance for balance sake. And until that changes, you're going to have losses continue to pile up to the Northern Illinois, who don't fear Nebraska, and they want to come in and trade punches with Nebraska. You're going to have continued losses to Wisconsin and Iowa because they live for these, you know, steel cage death matches along the line of scrimmage, as does Ohio State. And Penn State's just going to wear you out however they want because they are physical, they are fast, they're a great blend of finesse and power. So what are you? You aren't that right now as an offense. My thought here was, can you change who you are offensively? And you're going to have to if you're Nebraska. You're going to have to emphasize the run because you believe in it, that you're going to wear out and dominate a defense. It's a mindset. I think there are tough guys on that offensive line. But as an offense, as Mike Riley, as Cav, as Langsdorf, can you adopt wanting to be the baddest dude in the bar and win that fight? Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFL, are going to join us next. More of your calls and thoughts, 466-3776.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
We're back. More of your calls coming up. Are you still miserable on Monday from Saturday? I don't need specific detail how maybe you hydrated too much and that caused some of your misery. Still today, it can happen. Welcome in Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, you are a proud Nebraska Blackshirt. Defense played a little bit better. The team, though, lost to Northern Illinois 21-17. How have you kind of processed through this upset, this loss, and where the team's at?
It's trying to process through a lot because where I thought this team could potentially have gone this year, I mean, there still was a lot to be seen. But some of the strong points where I thought this team could really build off of, I don't think it's there anymore. I think this is a total reset opportunity for this team in this season. Still a lot of question marks. And I tell you what, I mean, right now, Nebraska is just not a good football team. They struggle. Offensive line did not look good. You're not going to win a lot of football games if you cannot block for your quarterback, you cannot block for your running back. You're continually having busts and miscommunications up front. And your defense can't get a stop at certain times in a game where you could have sealed this game, an ugly one, and got out of there with a win. And special teams, you get a kick block. Yeah, punt return game looks putrid, and it's just there's a lot to process to where this team could have been, you know, looking as a Big Ten West contender before the season. I know there was a little maybe extra hype in there. As now is, can this team even have a winning record this year? That's kind of where I've gone to thinking this was, you know, a potentially a 9-3, 8-4 type of ball club. It's like, you know, now best case scenario might be 6-6. That's kind of my whole process of thinking right now, and hopefully they prove me wrong, but it is what it is. Through three games, this is not a very good football team. They have a lot of stuff to figure out. They need to a come to Jesus moment. The whole staff, the 100 and some players, the third floor of the athletic director's office kind of needs to figure out, what are we doing here from here on out? What's our plan? How are we going to resurrect this? Because you do not lose to Northern Iowa in year three, period.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay Bird, there's a lot to go off of there. Was Saturday the come to Jesus for the rest of the season, or is there just too many warts? And I say this is what I was just rambling on about before we went to break, and maybe I need to buy my honorary Run the Ball Guy t-shirt, but what's the purpose of the run game in this offense? And it is to set up play action and pass. The emphasis isn't there, or hasn't been there, as a primary. Riley's talked about it, but he's about it. You haven't shown what he's wanted to be actually able to happen, and that's be a top three, top four rush team, because you're just kind of who you are, who you are, and that's you're a pass pro system from Oregon. And listen, I'm not saying pro style or West Coast can't work. It certainly can, but you gotta believe in the run game is more of an attitude. And you bring that physicality, and they can't just turn that switch on, can they? That's my fear for this team, is that they're going to be too finesse, and that will be their undoing, for lack of a better win record.
You might be, you know, you're kind of onto something. I think
you sound surprised, Bird.
No, I'm not surprised at all. You're a very smart man, and I don't care what people say about you.
good.
No, it's right. I mean, listen, any offense is going to work. You can run the spread. You can run the West Coast. You can run the triple wishbone, whatever you want to run it, as long as you got five dudes up front that can flat out get it done. And they don't. Coach Kavanaugh's got his hands worked, you know, has his hands full right now. They're a mess up front. You know, you want to be able to run the ball, but you can't. I mean, Mikel Wilbon was getting hit continually in the backfield, and good on him for being able to break a few tackles and get 5-6 yards, because it looked bad. Northern Illinois did whatever they wanted to up front. They made this game how our defense should have looked against their offense. That's essentially what just happened. And that's just not what you want to see in game three, because honestly, and kind of how you said, if they're going to be finesse, I mean, you kind of know what, through three games, you kind of have a pretty good idea what this team's about. And if that's what we're going to continue to see, I mean, good luck. Good luck the rest of the season. I mean, Ohio State has probably one of the best D-lines in the nation. Okay. That's no good. I mean, you're going to continually see much, much better off our defenses to the next nine games. And that does not look good. They need to figure it out. Is it, you know, because there's too many guys up front that have played too many meaningful snaps to have Coach Riley say in the press conference, oh, it's not good technique, and it's not, there's missed assignments. Well, what the hell? I mean, you have guys who have played meaningful snaps, and this is always the same story. They need to get it corrected. I mean, this is a bunch. You can't do this. You've played too many ball games and too many snaps against other competition to continually have the same things repeated and repeated again, and the mistakes keep happening. That's just, you can't. That's unfathomable in my mind that you've played this many snaps and you keep making the same mistakes. Shouldn't happen. Yeah, Farniok's a new player. I get that. But to have Gates, Foster, Conrad, Farmer continue to make mistakes, I mean, that's inexcusable. Those guys have played way too many snaps. I mean, you got to get this figured out quickly. I mean, I'm talking, you got to get it figured out right now, today. If I'm Kavanaugh, I mean, these practices this week, I mean, they're an SOB, because you can't have that. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to protect the quarterback. Hell, I mean, people are complaining about Tanner Lee. I mean, Tanner Lee doesn't have the time back there to even complete a pass. He has guys all over him. Mikel can't even hardly get a handoff sometimes without a guy in his face. I mean, that was just piss poor play. There's no other way to put it. They got to get it figured out quickly. Otherwise, you're looking at a losing season, honestly. And you just cannot have that in year three of a tenure of a coach after you fired a guy who consistently won nine games. I mean, it's just you can't do it. You got to get better, and it starts today. Get after it in practice. Become physical. This finesse stuff should never even be brought up between us two talking about this. It should be physical football. I mean, what's disappointing to me, Schmitty, is how many games you go back to the O'Reilly's era and you look at it, and you said that team was physical. And I can only think of one, and it was in a loss last year against Wisconsin. That's where you're like, hey, we look physical. We look like we got after a little bit. That's only one game. And that needs to get turned around here quickly. And unfortunately, you know, game three, it's almost could be, like you said, too much to get turned around and resurrect the season.
And I don't know if you can morph into being physical by now. I mean, it's a mentality and it's an emphasis. And your first step has been back, not driving forward in the run game. It's just what the offense has been. Jay, I got to ask you here about being the macro manager versus the micromanager from a head coaching standpoint. And Riley was pretty adamant about what they're going to do to get guys prepared to play better. And he's putting it on him and his guys. You know, the adults got to be the adults is one comment that I remember from earlier today. Do you think he's kind of got a pro mentality, right? And in the NFL, they let you guys be adults, but come Sunday, you better perform.
Yeah, otherwise you're fired and looking for another job.
Exactly. So my question here is, has it been too hands off by coaches, the head coach, when it comes to 18 to 22 year olds? I mean, I think more hands on is great, but you and I both heard that it's not been that way.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, you've said it multiple times, you know, I can lead you to water, but you know, I'm not going to make you drink from there. You know,
it's time to dunk somebody, isn't it?
Right. And you know what? That can work if your culture of being physical, practicing hard, is already established. If you know you have guys that if you know a few other guys aren't holding up their end of the bargain, those players are going to get on them, are going to after them. And I was, you know, talking to some buddies because you know everyone's asking me what the hell is going on, mm-hmm. And my only answer is we're not practicing. If you're not playing physical, you're definitely not practicing it. Case in point, you know, if you are what the performance that you put on the field on Saturday is definitely what you put on the practice tape and the practice field for 4 or 5 days. There's no other way to put it. I mean, it's that simple. So that tells me that, okay, now we're into game three. Guys are getting a little tired. Guys are feeling sorry for themselves. You know, maybe, hey, we got some tests coming up. Oh, we just had a tough game against Oregon. Hey, and I said this, the pro mentality has kind of seeped its way into football with the NFL coaches kind of coming back. Well, you want to say it's Callahan. Well, you want to say it's Riley. Well, you want to say it was like Erickson. And some guys think that, oh, because we're starters, we should be treated like we're in a 10, you know, 10-year NFL vets. Well, it's not the case. You're 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old young kids who haven't played that much football, and you're fresh, you're young. You need to get after it day after day. I mean, it's easy to think that, oh, I need to be taken care of. Well, you've proven that you can't. You know, I think Riley wants to see if he can take care of his guys, and maybe, hey, let's see if we can back off a little bit. Well, obviously he can't. Because when you do, and you get that performance, you get whooped by Northern Illinois. So you have to go. I know he said in the press conference that we've done more one-on-one, good on good. That's fine, but you have to. You know, I think the moral of the story here is how good your scout team. How good are they giving you looks? Are they getting after it? Are they doing the whole brother-in-law thing? Hey, are you? You know, I'm gonna take it easy on this play. I mean, honestly, that's probably going on because it happens. I've seen it for many years. I mean, guys, some of the stars are like, hey, take it easy on this play, or some of the scout team guys are, you know, a little upset. They're on the scout team, they're moping, they're just kind of giving a half-assed look and just trying to get to the day. And at the day, that's not okay. That's not right because you're doing it. You're making yourself bad, and you're making the starters look bad as well.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bird, we'll track dart you and get you in studio sometime this week. That was fun to catch up, brother.
We'll see you in a couple days.
All right, bud. Take care. Thanks for the insight, man. There he is, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. His thoughts. More time for you, 466-3776. Next segment, your chance to qualify for Rutgers, Nebraska tickets as well.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks to Jay Moore. Coming up, we'll get in touch with Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Brandon Vogel had an awesome column on HailVarsity.com after the loss. And we'll get caught up with Vogue's. Still time for you to get in, as if you couldn't get through earlier, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Also on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. And had a tweet in about if Nebraska football only had the passion that Jay Moore has. And I think there is passion down there. I can't explain how and why the team came out like they did in that first quarter. And really, I think what sent them back into a bad trip was the pick six. Once that happened, the whole place stopped, and that sideline was like, oh, God, this thing's going to be a game. I mean, if you're Northern Illinois, you're like, game on. You see their body language? You see how they feel? We can take them. And you know what? They are just fragile, man. Maybe there's been an instance where you've not been confident or you've been shaken up a bit. You got to bounce back. You got to man up. And the team tried, but it's just been an absolute mess on the offensive line. And it's been a mess at quarterback because of the offensive line, because the run game hasn't been good or consistent. The running game's been okay. Wasn't okay at all on Saturday. And you've got a quarterback right now that I thought had all the talent in the world. I still think he's very talented. But you know what he isn't? He isn't a guy that can carry a team. And I made the mistake of thinking, and he still has time to rewrite this story. But through three games, he's a guy that, and a lot of people are like this, he needs help around him. There's some guys that you can just kind of drop in and they do their thing. They're pretty awesome. No, he needs the other 10 guys to be on the same page and be pretty good. And they haven't been for him. So what Nebraska's answer will be is to dial back, kind of find some things they're good at, and just run the heck out of those. But then that limits you on offense, in your variety, in your predictability. So what's my answer? Get mean, get sick and tired of taking it, get sick and tired of this uproar when you don't do what you're supposed to do. Go take it out on somebody. And emphasize the run game because you care about beating the crap out of somebody across the line. Versus, it's kind of my, I've got a great fastball. It's my changeup. No, make it your fastball. And I don't know that you can do that within a week, let alone it's time to play Mad Scientist during Big Ten play. Ryan's been on hold. Ryan, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Welcome into Hail Varsity.
Hey, how you guys doing? I was going to kind of touch base on pretty much basically what's been said on the whole show.
Go ahead, man.
You know, I want to be optimistic and say that they're going to turn it around, but after watching O-line play, I had a DVR because I was working, and I got home and didn't really hear what happened or whatever. In the very beginning of the broadcast, they said, oh, you know, Nebraska should have no problem taking care of these guys because they have like 40 pounds on average across the board on the offensive line. And Tanner looked like he was playing like an Alabama defensive line. I don't even know. Maybe from last year. I mean, geez, I'm peace, guys. I mean, I'm like, I saw two, three, I don't know if they're defensive linemen or linebackers. They might may or may not have been blitzing. It doesn't even matter. But, you know, Mikael Wilbon, he had to make four or five cuts in the backfield before he could even get back to the line of scrimmage, you know. And so I think we're kind of exposed because, you know, a lot of teams last year saw, Tommy Armstrong as a dual threat, but they know he's a statue back there, so Pinheiro's back and go after him, and that's obvious. I mean, we're exposed. Everybody knows what they need to do to us, you know? And then secondly, big thing I've been talking about with some of my buddies is I feel like Nebraska's a little bit behind the times in a way. Everybody says, oh, give Mike Riley time to get his recruits. What the hell? Tom Herman came into Texas in his first year, and he just hung with USC. I don't know if USC is overrated or whatever. You know, but I mean, you can go down the list. You know, James Franklin, Tom Herman, hell, Scott Frost on UCF. You know,
here's the difference, and with the places you just named, and forgive me for going recruiting base on you, but you've got insane recruiting bases in Florida, in Texas, and in the Keystone State. Now, I'll say this about the recruiting at Nebraska. The kids that are on the field that are recent recruits need to play better.
Right.
If they're getting a starting spot or they're getting time on the field, they've got to play better. Whether you're a transfer or a cornerback or a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. If you've shown the ability to play and you get the coach's trust, you can't go out there and you're not supposed to be an All-American day one, but the build up that I'm guilty of too is that these guys are the second coming. Okay, and the reality is it's going to take them some time to get up to speed. When they max out, they could be awesome, but they clearly aren't ready right now.
No, I give some bigger names, but I mean you can look at Scott Frost and UCF. UCF probably doesn't out-recruit Nebraska, but when he stepped in his very first year, I believe it was 2 years ago, I think some of their games been canceled because they're down in Florida right now with that hurricane stuff going on. But I think 3 years ago they were like four wins. They didn't make a bowl game. They might be worse than that. I can't remember how many they won. He came in.
They were 2-12 in O'Leary's last year.
Yeah, and then he turned them around. If I remember right, last year they got spanked in the bowl game against somebody, but he turned them right around.
Arkansas State.
Yeah, I think he turned around and won the bowl game. It's very next year. I'm like, did he have his recruits? But I mean, like, he took a team that had two wins or whatever it was. He took them to six or seven wins. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in the whole recruiting jazz because Bulpin didn't recruit probably the level that Riley is right now because we're bringing in four stars, maybe some potential five stars. You know, but I just don't buy this. I just don't buy the whole recruiting thing. I think you coach the talent you have and get the most out of your players. So then
and Ryan, thanks for the call, bud. You got to get more out of these guys. They admit that. They know that. Will it happen? And back to Saturday. I mean, this team got frightened and scared and that expletive in their mind once that pick six happened. Still room for you, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Danny puts you on hold. Stay there. We will get to you. Your chance coming up at Nebraska. Rutgers tickets, Blur party passes. We'll do that drawing on Thursday. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_Radio. You might have noticed a different soybean side in your neighbor's fields this year. Yep, that's AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm, the AgriGold way. High expectations for every seed goes into the ground, and their approach to soybeans no different. High-performance soybeans from your brand, you already know. For more information, AgriGold.com or 800-262-7333. 15 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride on the way.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
You know what might make you feel better as a Nebraska fan? And if your wife's a super Nebraska fan, how about going to see Rick and Sauter? Heyman offering 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out their extensive collection of both Earthmind and pure-grown diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available for only $99 down and $99 a month. That is a winner. And now there's no reason you can't please that sweetheart of yours. Be a hero to your friends and family and get to Sauter Heyman today. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, around Weston Grand Island, voted best of the year, year after year. You can log on, SauterHeyman.com. Put that down in ink, permanent ink, 0% interest financing through 2020, and 1 carat diamonds available, $99 down and $99 a month. Okay, Rutgers is on the horizon, and a Blur party pass on the horizon for you. Thursday's our giveaway, and we'll get qualified here shortly. Mine two takeaways from Saturday, the ineffectiveness of the run game because of the offensive line and a mentality. It's not a toughness question, it's a mentality. To be tough in the run game, you have to emphasize and want to be a team that can run up and smash people. Smash people you outweigh by 50 pounds, smash people that are comparable, smash people that are bigger than you that you'll see in the Big Ten. And right now, Nebraska's problem is very simple. The run game is an accessory. Think of clothing, jeans, shirt, watch, Oris, shoes. The run game right now is a pair of socks and your jeans. A pair of socks and your belt in this offense. It's what it is. They need to want to be a great running team. Period. And you might be screaming at me right now, how are they supposed to run if they can't block anybody? Well, part of the problem is the finesse side. Your first step is back, not forward. You're playing patty cake versus firing off and pancaking somebody. Now, from a personality standpoint, too, you got some mean dudes that want to step on you, or do you have some guys that are just kind of doing their thing? I think Foster and Gates are fiery, are mean dudes. What are you going to do at center? I mean, they're not going to move Conrad. We'll have thoughts from Riley next hour. But you can't get blown up at center and guard. You can't, and it's happened three times each week at a minimum. Those guys got to get better, or you got to find better dudes. Are they on the roster? You're good at what you emphasize, and the primary care has been on the pass game. Last thing that I'll say about the offense is you are at a disadvantage without a mobile quarterback. Have I led the Tanner Lee fan club at times? Probably, because he's really talented. But in today's day and age, college football, you need a guy that's able to move. And Tanner's not completely stationary, but he didn't bring what Tommy brought from a mobility standpoint and extending plays. That's a little less stress than a mobile guy on defense. Caller 9 and 10 right now qualifies for Nebraska Rutgers tickets. Caller 9, caller 10, caller 9, caller 10, 466-3776. Caller 9 and 10 now.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it's a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Thanks so much for your input, your phone calls. We'll get to more of you this hour. It is a Monday. It's time for Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we?
Well, I'm still moving.
Yeah?
It's a little tougher this week to move. Yes.
Yeah.
That was not really an exciting game. I had some people that I had met. It was kind of funny because they both lived. The people that came over, they stopped by to say hello, and they ended up watching the game with me. And they're both from Lincoln. From the went to school at Nebraska, but they're out living in Arizona. So, You know, it was kind of, you know, okay. And you know, the one of them had gone to the Oregon game, so he was, You know, he was really a big fan.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity. What's it like to watch a game with you? I gotta ask that because you've given your life to Nebraska, and you were incredible at Nebraska, and you guys won so much. And you guys, I mean, knowing you, you want the best. You have the best interest in Nebraska at heart, and you care for the coaches and players extremely well. You want success above all, but you're also a football fan, and you have a root and interest. How difficult is it for you to watch when the team doesn't perform like they're supposed to?
Well, it's hard. You know, I mean, you get frustrated. You know, I mean, like anybody else, I would think I'm no different probably than the normal person, you know, and when you're there, the school means so much to you, and I'm sure that I didn't go to school there, but you know, I spent 23 years there. That's probably more than going to school there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's hard. And you know, I kind of let them do the talking. I just go, yeah, You know, I didn't want to, you know, you feel like you'd like to sometimes get up and scream maybe or do something. But, you know, I'm getting past that stage now, too. But I think that, you know, you try to be patient, but there's things you see that, you know, there's definitely some things that I don't know about. I don't know about their practice, how they do that, and I don't know a lot of things. But the more I look at, you know, the quarterback thing, being a defensive guy, I would say that, you know, that, of course, pressure is always, you know, you can tell if a guy's a good quarterback if he has a good offensive line, and they aren't doing their job right now. You know, there's no question about that. And, you know, I don't think that's a secret. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what I don't like is I don't like their toughness. And they better get some pads on and doing some stuff at practice, because if they're walking around like a bunch of proteins, you know, sometimes these guys that coach in the NFL get in that pro and we're going to get somebody hurt. Well, we went through years of banging around pretty good. I mean, really good. But we took care of each other. We didn't cut. We didn't throw guys to the ground. We didn't do cheap shots or do any of that kind of stuff, and that saves you a lot. But we were able to play each other on Wednesday, 12 plays, and live one against one, two against two, and then went down on the goal line for four plays on the goal line, same thing, one and one, two and two, and, you know, really put the wood to each other. And so, you know, that you have to get some game speed in there somewhere. You can't just go, you know, somebody mentioned a walkthrough. There's no walkthrough on Thursday. You got to run the plays and run them and do the things like that. So if they're just doing a walkthrough on Thursday, that's a waste of time. Okay, that's you're kidding yourself. And, you know, how good a shape are they in? Are they running every day after practice? Are they doing, you know, I don't know. You know, but it looks, there's a lot of things that lead to something else. And I think the quarterback part is the fact that they're they put a lot of pressure on them to get started. You know, everything was, he's going to be the greatest thing in the world since mashed potatoes. And he's sometimes even not getting a chance to read his, you know what he's supposed to be reading, because there's so much pressure so quick. And then he's not doing a good job of taking care of the ball. There's no question. There should have been six interceptions in that game. There were three outright drops. And, you know, so that I construe that as six interceptions. You don't know what. Maybe he's trying too hard, doing too much. I think defensively the kids are getting better. I really do. And there's some guys filling in that I think are doing a good job. And if you look at the statistics, I don't know that they didn't get 300 yards total offense. And that's not a bad day. And but you go back to the same thing. You get two touchdowns on interceptions and, you know, and then you come up with a play to have a chance to take him down the field, throw a rock right to him, and plus the guy, if you look at it, the guys behind him were double covering the guy behind him. And so there were three people in the area, and he threw it right, you know, the linebacker had not intercepted, somebody probably behind him would have. And I saw it from the end zone on TV, and it was, I was really surprised that he did that. And so I don't know whether he's just so tied up inside that, you know, and I, you know, I thought maybe at the end there, you know, they had a chance to win and a chance to go down there and do it, and they didn't do it.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio, recapping the Northern Illinois loss by Nebraska. Coach, what I was talking about to start the show off is kind of a mentality that existed with you guys, and it's really been a part of Nebraska football, and that is just you mentioned toughness and the way you want to use your run game, okay? And yeah. So far, the way I've interpreted it is Look, you had Bryant really perform well against Oregon, and he ran well against Arkansas State, and Wilbon was running for his life because there weren't any holes. From an emphasis standpoint, Monday through Thursday in practice, I don't know how much the run game is emphasized. I'm not there, but I know if the preference with this offense is to throw the ball, and the whole point of the run game is to set up the pass game, i.e. the play action. And I just don't know if you can keep living like that, and I don't know if you can change course within a week to emphasize the run game more. But I think they'll need to. I think they've got tough kids. I think they've got good offensive linemen. And I think Kavanaugh's coached for a number of years, so he can coach. But just from an emphasis standpoint, are you going to be able to be a tough football team by running the football? You got to make that choice. That's kind of where I'm leaning.
Well, your kids have to be nasty.
Okay.
I mean, that was a favorite word of Milt's. You're not a nasty. You're not. You know, he said, you got to have a defensive temperament. Well, you know, I don't know what a defensive temperament it is, but it isn't real sweet. And he always emphasized toughness in the offensive line, and you have to, but you have to do it in practice. You can't just put your sweats on or whatever you do in your, you know, in your shoulder pads and helmet and go out and, you know, learn to play football that way. I mean, you know, you got to learn to tackle. You got those things you got to do every day somewhere along the line, and you have to do things that. You have to work on your pass rush. Do they have pass rush one-on-one against each other, and are they going full blast, and are they going getting a lot of rips, or are they going 5 minutes and that's it, and then we're out. We're going the next five-minute period. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Some schools have these five-minute periods. That's a bunch of garbage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just told Tom, if we don't get 20 minutes, of at least minimum 20 minutes of individual work, I'm out of here. It's simple. You know, you can't teach anybody in 2 seconds, and especially the defensive line. They're the first line of defense. You've got a great defensive line. You can look at any game you want to do. You know, now the great teams in the country, you know, the first thing they're talking about is this defensive line is really something. I was here in Ohio State, and you have the best in the world, and you know, anytime anybody says that, you can bet on it that the guy, that they're going to get their, you know what, handed to them, and mm-hmm. they did. So, you know, there's always somebody better, and you just got to just rise to the occasion. And, I mean, you come off the ball, you got to mash people. I mean, and you got to get after them. And I always said one thing, whether it's defensive line or offensive line, once contact's made, you never stop your feet. Your feet are going all the time. Guys that plant their feet are guys that get ACL operations. And, you know, they're getting guys falling all over them. And so you better move your feet in there or you're going to get hurt anyway. So it's six, one half dozen to the other. But, you know, my frustration is it doesn't seem like there's an attitude of any kind of they may say, well, there's a lot of coaches are enthusiastic, that doesn't mean the players are going to be that way. Mm-hmm. Just because the coach is, I mean, that sometimes that transfers, but you know, you could have talked to me in the sideline sometime. I was like a stone because mm-hmm. I wasn't, you know, I had to call a defense. I wasn't worried about, you know, what was going on. I had to get it done, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to control yourself. A lot of people say, well, maybe you should come out of the press box and be downstairs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I couldn't tell you because I don't know the personalities. I don't. The other thing, too, I noticed that the sideline looked like a social party.
Yeah.
I mean, they had guys. Well, I watched the sideline. They had kids while they're playing. The offense is on the field of the defense that are got their backs to the game. You know, I mean, what in the world is, you know, you can't do that. You got to cheer your guys on. You got to get up there and, you know, encourage them and do things and stuff like that. And when they come off the field, you need to encourage them. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, I mean, you got to play a role there. But I just thought, you know, we had a lot of guys on the sideline too, but I think our numbers were like 106.
Sure.
Okay, well, maybe they got more than that. I don't know. But it looks like it maybe it's some of those guys ought to be settled down a little bit and let them know what day it is. Just because they're not in there doesn't mean they're not supposed to be part of the team.
Sure. Charlie McBride's with us. Hail Varsity Radio Mondays with Charlie. Coach, the thought was Nebraska would come out hungry and ready to to take it out on Northern Illinois. That did not happen. It seems like the pick six early broke them. Got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes here. What do you think of Rutgers? What do you want to see on Saturday?
Well, I think right now you're playing for the bottom. I mean, you know, both teams are last in their division.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and, you know, right there is enough that you want to be the last ones, then you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just going to be passive, you know, I got a name for that, but I don't want to do it on the radio. But but anyway, they just got to come out and decide what they, you know, that they're going to be the toughest dog in town. And, you know, when that ball snapped, they're going to make that back wish the heck he never came to Lincoln and stuff like that. But that's the way they got to play. And they got to play that way every play, and every player has to play that. Don't leave it up to somebody else. I see too much standing around, too. Guys that are kind of jogging down the field and doing stuff like that. You got to run and you got to scream. I mean, it's, you know, this game is, you know, maybe some of these young kids really don't understand exactly what it is, and that could be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's not so that has sometimes that just have, takes time for them to figure out. But you know, every play, I used to tell the kids, do you know that every play you play, some guy that played your position is watching you because they want you to be good at, you know, and you're playing for those guys that played before.
Mm.
And you want them to think, you know, that. And you know, fans are going to be bad. But the people that love you aren't going to ever let you down. So play for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the ones that you got to, you know, they're the ones you want to make happy. You know, I hear my people talking about my mom this and my dad this and everybody. I don't know that there's any way you play the game unless you're playing for each other or playing for the people that love you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of upsets me not to, you know, to see that kind of play. Win or lose, you know. Hey, if you played as hard as you can play and you get beat, you got nothing to be ashamed of. You can walk off the field and say, I tried as hard as I could. I did everything I could as a football player. And they're just better than here. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's what you've got inside. Are you going to use it, or are you going to blame it on somebody else, or are you going to sit there and moan and groan about, you know, I'm not getting in the game, or I'm not doing this? Your time will come, and you better be ready, partner. You know, so...
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we'll run you down next Monday. It'll be a happier Monday. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Because I'm always happy. But if I start thinking about football, I sometimes get a little wired.
You're good, Coach. You take care, and thank you so much for your time, bud.
You bet. Bye now.
Thank you. Take care. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. He says he's happy, and then he starts thinking about football. He's awesome. We love him. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, pretty real right there with what he is seeing. Tremendous writer and author, Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity on the way. More thoughts from you, more calls on the way.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great stuff, as always, from Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel. Time for you here in about 10 to 12 minutes to dial in if you want and continue to express your disgust or even support about Nebraska football following the Northern Illinois debacle. Are you still miserable? That's what we've been talking about. Many of you. Man, I went to a lot of places. Went to the gym yesterday. Went to the bar. You can't go to one without the other. All right. I went to the gym first, took my kid to the bar because I'm an awesome father. And everyone's just bitching and moaning about the offensive line everywhere I went yesterday. And they are no doubt, as practice will get done around 7 o'clock, addressing that. Great, great column following Nebraska's loss to Northern Illinois. Brandon Vogel, author. Brandon Vogel at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter from HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, how you feeling?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Smitty?
I'm okay. Charlie was a bit fired up. I'll just leave it at that. But, I mean, you've covered this team a long time, and the takeaways are vast with some of the wins, and then, you know, you're still a team that is not immune from these bumps in the road. And you had another one. And you walked up to me, brother, in the press box and said, I don't know about this one. You felt like this thing could get shaky. We're talking an hour before kickoff after the Saturday show. And, you know, I need to buy that winning lottery ticket. So tell me how it came to you. What made you kind of switch from, all right, they'll be okay, to, eh, I don't know.
Well, the injury report, you know, late last week certainly didn't make me ambitious.
Right.
Didn't make me any more ambitious, I'll say that. But I don't think that was a factor. It was more just kind of where Northern Illinois has been.
Yeah.
Rod Carey's had a couple of these now. It's a G5 program, a MAC program, but it's one that's used to winning. And you feel like there's a culture there, and essentially what I wrote afterwards is I still don't see one necessarily at Nebraska, and that's a problem. That's always the danger in playing schools like this in Arkansas State. They kind of know what they're doing, and it looked very much on Saturday like Nebraska's still figuring itself out.
They do, and that's the one thing that Nebraskans don't want, and that's embarrassment. They don't want embarrassment on a monster stage, Ohio State-Nebraska top 10 matchup. And this embarrassment can be and is worse in some corners because of who beat you and where they beat you and how they beat you. And they lined up and had a great run game, Northern Illinois did. And then they lined up and blitzed you like they're the 95 black shirts off the edge. And you had no answer. And I think this stems from emphasis. Now, Riley's going to look at how they're prepping kids, and I'm sure they'll re-examine practice. And I think he's a really smart and good football guy. I like Mike Riley. But when it comes to their strength and emphasis, they've always been kind of a want-to-throw-it-first type mentality. Even at Oregon State, he had some awesome backs, and they had a ton of yards. But their bread and butter is throwing the football, and it's been a more finesse offense. And I don't know if they can get out of their own way with that mentality. They need to, on third and short, want to have the edge and anger and, you know, nastiness to go fire off and maul the guy across from you. They a lot of times choose to throw the ball, A, because they fear the run game, but two, that's what they love doing. And I don't know if they can change their stripes on this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. And the thing about a system like this is you got to be good on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford's won that way. Michigan's winning that way right now. Alabama, to run this style of offense, you have to be good there. You can be average to above average in some of the other spots, but you've got to be good there. And I think last Saturday was kind of the best example of what it can look like if you're not. And Nebraska's not good up there right now. So the challenge becomes, how do you change that? You're dealing with some injuries up there that don't help you at all. You're looking at playing a true freshman maybe this week. But the bigger thing is you're looking at whatever they've done to this point from a coaching perspective clearly hasn't worked. So are you willing to basically scrap that, whatever it was, start over from square one and do it starting today. It's a lot. Well, it doesn't even sound easy, but it's even harder to do in practice. So I don't know, but it seems like something drastic has to happen on that front.
Well, and how will the kids take to it? Will they trust it, or will they kind of go, you're panicking now? How do you think the reception will be?
Well, I think a lot of that comes in how you communicate it. Maybe if you start with a sort of back-to-basics approach, you know, pitch it as, guys, let's just have fun and play football again. Maybe it becomes a little bit easier to swallow, because I think what you mentioned is a valid concern. You don't want to show up and be like, well, everything I told you for the past 2.5 years wasn't getting it done, so here's something else, because that doesn't necessarily instill confidence in a group of guys going into a game.
What do you think of Tanner Lee? Do you think he is pressing? He's a victim of the other 10 guys? Or is he a guy that's been too hyped for his own good? I look at Lee, and my takeaways after 3 games, yes, there's talent. Yes, he's a guy guys want to play for, but he is not John Wayne, John Elway, Brett Favre. He can't win it by himself. He's got to have talent and help around him. After 3 games, that's my main takeaway as we head into Big Ten play. He's a guy that you can rattle and you have rattled, and he can't overcome shortcomings from the other 10 if they're not helping him out. He can't win it by himself. He was built up to be a guy that could maybe do that.
Yeah. I'm certainly not selling on him to any degree. There was not a moment on Saturday where I thought he's got to come out. I mean, not even close, really. So he's a guy, when you look at his career, I think, you know, part of the reason he's at Nebraska is so this would be different. But just look at how much time he has spent sort of taking hits, running for his life, trying to get throws off with hands in his face. Now, has he made some of his own mistakes? Yes, of course. So I think it is a little bit of finding that middle ground. Like the NFL stuff, the measurables, that's all fine and great. They're looking at him as an individual. Him as a sort of leader and team guy seems good all on that front, but I think you nailed it. He's not the quarterback that's just going to single-handedly kind of elevate your ceiling. He needs some help. He's gotten it sporadically so far this year, and that's why it looks like what it looks like so far. But I think he's going to be okay.
They've got to get him in better position. The run game's got to be more than just a vessel to invoke play action. It's got to be an intimidation tool where you fire off and you run it because you want to take the other dude's will across the line. And maybe that'll happen. Got a few minutes here, Vogues. Defensively, I mean, they made a ton of plays against Northern Illinois, and they were right there. The response drive from Northern Illinois, credit them. You take all the BS out of the game, Northern Illinois still wins this thing 10-7, all right? So the defense played well enough to win again. And that's got to be encouraging. What type of jump do you see? And what, from a Rutgers standpoint, where can Rutgers stress Nebraska? Where can Nebraska grow and be a factor defensively against Rutgers?
Yeah, you know, Rutgers has a couple of big play threats at receiver. Gus Edwards, formerly of Miami, is there running the ball. So they've got some players that can test you. I think what I've liked about Nebraska's defense through all 3 games, really, you know, even if you only saw it sporadically in the first two, is you do see a lot of guys around the ball. Mm-hmm. So that part of it's good. That part of it, I think, probably looks the furthest ahead of all of the elements. And anytime you're doing that, you're going to be okay. I mean, you look at last Saturday's game, they gave up one play at 20-plus yards. Like, you should be able to win doing that. It just happened at exactly the wrong time and ended up being the difference. So I think you're going to continue to see growth as they get into Big Ten play. You know, we talked about this last week. Like, the style of play sort of matches this defense a little bit better. So I think Rutgers will be a good test case of how much more this defense is capable of doing.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, what'd you make of Eichhorst's trip down to post-game area on Saturday?
It was certainly proactive. it's not something
proactivity.
It's not something you want to see or typically see, which I think kind of says it all. It's just strange to think how as you said, if you kind of strip the crazy things away, NIU still wins. Well, yeah, there's another way of that game. In 17-14 Nebraska, and then you haven't ripped the lid off. The AD doesn't come down after you only beat them by three. So it's that's how close it is. Nebraska's the same team either way, and right now it doesn't look too good. And Sean Eichhorst, to his credit, came down and by his presence alone acknowledged that, and that's troubling in year three.
It is, and I think Riley said all the right things today, too, and I think he believes him. It's not just lip service. Yep. They've got this week and today to really try and figure it out and turn it around, and we'll see if that happens. Vogues, we'll bother you again at the end of this week for a forecast, my man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right. Thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll get to the calls here next segment, so if you're on hold, stay there and we love you. Thank you for your patience on that. If you plan to drink tonight, be sure to plan and get that ride home and be safe, first and foremost. And if you're making plans to go out for a little Monday night football tonight and you get caught drinking and driving, hey, you'll face a DWI that can cost you up to $12,000 in fines, in fees, in jail time, and you'll be required to install the interlock device on your vehicle. So if you're making plans tonight or the weekend, get that sober ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you'll lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation Highway Safety Office. More of your calls, thoughts from Mike Riley. A line for you at 466-377-6800, 825-5865.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, you've been on hold for a while. We'll get to you. I appreciate your patience. 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Thoughts from Mike Riley on the expectations and the job as Nebraska. John's been on hold. We'll get to you in a minute here, Ron. John, go ahead. Thanks for calling, sir.
Thanks, Chris. I've been following Nebraska since 1959, but anymore it's starting to hurt my mental and physical health. Plus, it's wasting my time and my money. And I need to take a step back for a while and let some of this play out. I think I'm going to watch Oklahoma for a while. I've always admired them. But this is so bad that I can't watch it anymore, and it upsets me too much.
You know what? And, John, thank you for calling and being on hold. Appreciate you waiting on us. And, listen, that's a lot of you are at that point. And, you know, we started this show off asking if you're still miserable about Saturday. And some of you are. And we've had, I mean, it works the gamut, 18 to 60 callers from all ages there. And that's just small sample size. But a lot of you are angry, frustrated, ticked off. And a lot of you are conflicted, too, because you like Coach Riley. He's likable. And he knows football. But what happened Saturday can't happen. And you're 1-2 for a second time right now. Can they get it fixed? That'll be kind of the theme as the week moves on. Okay, how do you fix it? And can it be done? A line open at 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Ron has been on hold. Ron, go ahead. Thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you, Chris. I don't call in very often, but sometimes I think that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. A coach told me a long time ago that players win games, coaches lose them. And he explained to me why coaches lose them, because they don't want to change their mind. They pick something one thing, and they're going to do it. They won't change. They won't sit a player on a bench and let him think about why he threw all of these interceptions. They just let him go ahead and throw more. Everybody says Riley's a good coach. No, Riley's not a good coach. Riley is a nice guy. If he was a good coach, he'd be looking into his soul and trying to find out why he's doing, he can't, you know, change things and try other things. It's just like the reason for insanity, or the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome.
Ron, appreciate the call and the insight.
That's all I got to say.
And you're right about coaches. That saying, players win games, coaches lose games, and are you willing to change? And maybe Nebraska looks in the mirror and they do make the appropriate changes. Tanner doesn't get any better, or if he's not better with better line play, then you do make a change. But it ain't all on him right now. And quarterbacks are different animals, too. They are. Because you yank them and they start getting all mental. Not all, but most. It's a pretty unique position. You can't really jerk with it, I don't think. Because the confidence is fragile. Probably too fragile, but it is. Okay, cut 14. Mike Riley here. Press conference today. And asked about Nebraska, where they're at and where they're trying to get. And it's been X number of years since there's a conference championship, the expectations, that whole ball of wax. What you're charged with doing at Nebraska and where you're at right now.
Frankly, let's just step back. That's why we came, right? It's a great, great place with the most unbelievable fan base and people that care. We've been all through that, right? And I really believe that's true. So you wear that, you take that on the good, and you know what will happen if it's not good. What we're going to do is stay the course to bring it back. You know, so we have to do that in the football end of it. We have to do that in the recruiting end of it. We have to really remain consistent in that way. And so I guess I would respond by saying I understand all that. These folks, everybody's hungry to get back. And that's why we came. And that's talking to recruits yesterday. We have that vision. We're going to keep fighting for it. We have to do that through the football part of it. We have to do that through the recruiting part of it. And we're just going to, you know, we took a step back for sure Saturday. So we've got to fight to get that back and more as we go. And we will.
Stay the course. It's a fine line between making necessary changes and invoking panic, because your guys got to trust in you that you know what you're doing. And when you lose to Northern Illinois, there can be some question marks and some doubt. But a lot of it's on the players, too, to go out and perform. And they're going to take the necessary look at what have we been doing Monday through Thursday? And are we practicing hard enough, physically enough? Are we emphasizing the right things to be a strong, tough football team? Maybe they look at all of that. You can't snap your fingers and make it so. Confidence is a major question. Is there a worry about confidence with this team? And yes, the answer, here's Coach Riley.
Oh, for sure. I think that, you wouldn't be human if doubt didn't creep in after something like that. I think that, that's where, like I said, the adults, the coaches in the room have to help these guys. One of the big, big things, even without a game like that, is always through the course of the week, building confidence on how it's going to look on game day. I'm thinking that it's a process that will start today with practice and will continue to rise as we go and practice through the week.
This was pretty good. Got 12. Who do you lean on, Mike? The whole state's lighting torches, not happy. Your AD comes out and is in front of the camera after a loss. And he was asked, Mike Riley, who do you lean on? This was great.
I guess is a good thing is I have been around a while, so I've seen good times and I've seen hard times, and I feel good about that. You know, we can do better. We can help these kids. We can play better than that. That can result in winning. And so, but I've got a great support system. I've got a tremendous home, you know, that part of it. I think she still likes me. I used to rely on my dog Rudy when I got home. I knew Rudy just wanted to go for a walk. He was glad to see me, but Rudy's not around anymore. So, but Dee's pretty consistent.
Loving wife, and we got the, I mean, poor guy lost his dog, Rudy. Can you still be pissed about Northern Illinois? I mean, really? Put the torch down. Rudy ain't there anymore. It's a great name for a dog. Rudy wants to go for a walk. All right, Riley's good stuff. All right, hang on the line if you're there. We'll get to you in a moment. Your chance coming up at Nebraska Rutgers tickets and Blur Party passes. We'll wind down a Monday on Hail Varsity. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Your chance, Nebraska Rutgers tickets. We'll give away Thursday. Weekend Warriors, listen up. If you had aches and pains and that weekend run was a tough one, how about the pickup game was an issue? Time spent in the garden or camping keeps you on the couch. Well, it's time to tell you about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Those weekend activities can affect you for sure. And it's time to make an appointment today at Madonna Therapy Plus if you're trying to get those answers and results you want to get back to being that weekend warrior you are. So physical therapy and occupational therapy, Madonna Therapy Plus, their specialty. And their therapists are just into the latest technology. They have the equipment you need to get back on track. And they've been voted Lincoln's top choice when it comes to physical therapy for 10 years. Three locations for you in Lincoln and one in West Omaha. Madonna Therapy Plus, the answer you need. Log on and make an appointment today to learn more. TherapyPlus.org. You can log on, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. Great, great folks over there to take care of you. John, you've been on hold. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, looking at what's going on, I've just talked to some of my old friends, and they basically said that we've had 20 years of this, and I've had friends that say that it's time that Eichhorst and Riley go. I think if we're going to get rid of Riley, we wait till the end of the season. But as the newscasters on the television said, there was no passion in the offense or defense. There was no immediacy on the sideline. The lady announcer said that at halftime at the game, and I just don't, I mean, people are just...
How can that be is your question, right?
Well, I'm saying people are changing. Do you think the sentiment is changing? I have not been a Riley fan from the go-get, but I've tried to be positive and support him, and I see solid people, like a friend of mine, a big donor in Colorado, said, the Nebraska fan doesn't get it. We're not relevant. We're not a brand. And we haven't been that for at least a dozen to 15 years. And we just can't get knocked down anymore. Something has to change this year. And if we're going to get a new coach, we're going to have to spend $5.5 million to $6 million and put another $3 million into assistant coaches, or we're going to be irrelevant. I mean, it's gotten to that point right now.
John, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you. We're up against the break. Appreciate you listening. And we aren't to the point yet of talking about a new coach. We're just not. But it's floating out there. Got to perform and you got to win. And Riley and his staff know that. But the other side of this is Nebraska the last 20 years has pulled the plug on people after 4 to 5 years. And you've been hitting this reset and restart like it's Nintendo 64, thinking it's going to be better. and it hasn't been. You've been in constant transition. So either let this hire end up playing out and be right, or go make the right hire. And I don't know that you got anyone out there that can do that. Caller 9, caller 10 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776. Caller 9 and 10, you qualify for Nebraska, Rutgers, and Bloor party passes. Caller 9, caller 10 right now.